Hello?
No, here, Ms. Martinez. Oh, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse will be conducting our hearing, ma'am. She's the lead.
Okay.
Okay, Ms. Martinez, could you please state your name and your ABC number for the record?
Stephanie Jill Martinez, and it's 299959.
Well, you got all the nines, didn't you?
I did.
Okay. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing. This concerns the four allegations on your warrant.
Okay.
On April 5th, you were notified about this hearing. You signed a notification that day, do you remember?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Okay, and on that page is a list of your hearing rights, and one of those is that you can hire an attorney to represent you, or you can represent yourself. So for today, which of those is it? Will you represent yourself or have an attorney?
I have representing myself.
Represent yourself. That's fine. Let me tell you who the board members are, even though you can't see us, who are conducting this hearing. We have the Honorable Lou Quinones, the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. White, he's our board chairman, the Honorable Michael Johnson, and my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll just be the person who is conducting this hearing.
Okay.
So we also have with us in the room Mr. Osborne, who is with the Department of Corrections. He will represent the department and your parole officer in today's hearing.
Okay.
So before we start, I need to swear both of you in. So Ms. Martinez and Mr. Osborne, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do.
I do, ma'am.
Thank you. Ms. Martinez, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the conditions of supervision, and phase two to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one of your hearing, Ms. Martinez, I'm going to read each of these four allegations, and when I finish each one, I need you to tell me if it's true or false.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll start phase one. Here is the first allegation. That is that you were in violation of condition number 12B, as demonstrated by your operating a motor vehicle without a valid driver's license, insurance card, current registration, and approval from your assigned parole officer on or about March 2nd, 2018. Ms. Martinez, is this true or false?
False.
That's false, okay. Allegation number two, is that you were in violation of condition number 7, demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about March 12, 2018, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated March 20th, 2018. Ms. Martinez, is this true or false?
True.
Okay. The third allegation is that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on or about March 13th, 2018, per the task lab report dated March 14th, 2018. Ms. Martinez, is this true or false?
True.
Okay, and the fourth allegation is a violation of condition 12C, demonstrated by your failure to enroll into, participate in, and complete the VIVRE 90-day residential community behavioral modification program on or about March 16, 2018. Ms. Martinez, is this true or false?
True.
Okay. So you said true to allegations 2, 3, and 4, but false as to allegation number 1. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take some testimony from Mr. Osborne from the Department of Corrections. So hold on the line, Mr. Osborne.
Yes, ma'am. Allegation number one. On March 2nd of 18, during the defendant's initial intake, the offender was directed both verbally and in writing that the offender was not allowed to drive without first providing the required documentation to our assigned parole officer and obtaining his permission. The offender failed to provide any of the required documentation, nor did she request or receive approval to operate a motor vehicle. The offender was also directed to not have any contact with individuals on parole or probation without her parole officer's prior approval. The offender even requested clarification on the differences between individuals on supervision and felons. At the conclusion of the intake, Peel Corporation escorted the offender to the lobby where he informed her to immediately address another offender, and he was wearing his prison release clothes, and then she opened the back door of a black Ford Focus. After closing the door, the offender proceeded to get into the driver's seat, started the car, and began to back out of the parking spot. He approached and addressed the offender and the occupants of the vehicle. The offender in the rear seat was directed to exit the vehicle and obtain another ride. Offender Martinez was directed to park the car and surrender the keys until a licensed driver could be located.
So, Ms. Martinez, what was not true about that?
When I was released from DOT, I was provided with my valid driver's license. On my release conditions, it said nothing on there about me not driving. So when I showed up to my appointment to check in with my parole officer, my parole officer that I was scheduled to meet with was out on the field, so I had to see a different parole officer, which at that point I showed him I had a valid driver's license, a proof of insurance and registration, but he said he couldn't approve me to drive until my regular one was in the office, which I was supposed to show up the following week to check in with him. But I had already drove there and my son was present with me in the car waiting for me. I also did ask him if it was against my release conditions if I had contact with another prisoner another released felon, because I had a gentleman ask me if I could give him a ride to the light rail, which the parole officer told me at that point it's not a good idea, but it wouldn't be held against me. So that was the situation on that. Okay. And then when I showed up the following week to see my regular parole officer at the time, he had quit, and then this guy was my new parole officer, and he would not approve me to drive from that point on. But I do have a valid license, registration, and proof of insurance. I had it confused. I already told the gentleman I'd give him a ride to the light rail. I didn't think it was going to be a big deal because I asked him if it was going to be a big deal. He just told me it wasn't a good idea to do it. So that was my fault. But
well, Ms. Martinez, I do have a paper signed by you, although I see it's dated March 16th, that says condition 12B, and I'll read right off of this form, which has your signature on it, shall not operate any motor vehicles without prior permission of your assigned parole officer.
I understand, but I was released March 1st, and on my conditions when I was released March 1st from prison, if you guys issued my DOT my license, and it doesn't say anything on there that I can't drive myself to my first appointment.
I just want to clear up for a moment. When you say you guys...
I'm the Department of Corrections when I was released from there the first time on March 1st.
The Board of Executive Clemency is not the Department of Corrections. We're a completely separate agency.
Okay.
Okay. Hold on one second, Ms. Martinez. Mr. Offwood, is there any indication in the chrono notes or anything that would help us? Or is there a scanned copy, perhaps, of the earlier
March 1st? And the release conditions from prison, I get to see if I can pull something up.
See if they're in there. That would be wonderful. Because we have the one dated the 16th, but we don't have the one dated the 1st.
Yeah, but no, I was there that day, and Bill Trumpman advised me what had happened, and he was very direct in saying what she could and could not do. So.
But that would have been on the 1st or the 16th?
That was that day, the 16th.
The 16th, okay. Hold on one second, Ms. Martinez, we're checking.
Okay, thank you.
fees and just and just that's what we made to do.
So ma'am, upon the release conditions from the prison, it does not state no driving. But you know, that day she didn't let him know she was driving there.
Right, okay. So. Thank you, Mr. Osborne. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion that indicates, based on Ms. Martinez's admissions, specifically for allegations 2, 3, and 4, I move to find her delinquent as she violated the terms and conditions of her supervision and nor have lapsed or have lapsed in the criminal ways or company. However, regarding allegation number 1, because we have no information to prove allegation number 1, I'm going to find her not in violation on allegation number 1, and that's my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Agree.
Okay. I got 2 seconds.
Who?
Okay, Mr. Okay. I actually got 3 seconds. Okay, so second, a motion by myself, seconded by Dr. Wright, and agreed by Mr. Johnson, Mr. Neal, and Mr. Quinones. And the specifics, just to cover this because it's a little complicated, the first allegation, Ms. Martinez was not in violation, and that's specifically because we cannot prove one way or the other. We don't have the document to be able to prove that. And then regarding allegations, whoops, first, what do I do but check the wrong box? I've corrected that. Allegations 2, 3, and 4, she is in violation, and that's due to her admission. Okay. I'll say no. I'm going to make a note here. No supporting documents. Okay. So Ms. Martinez, you know, overall the effect is the same. However, the board did not find you in violation of allegation number 1.
Okay.
So we'll move to phase 2 of your hearing now, ma'am, and that is to determine if your meeting supervision should be reinstated or revoked.
Okay.
So what we'll do with that, I'm going to ask first, just to give us some background information about your case. I'm going to ask Mr. Osborne to give us some details. So just stay on the line. We'll be right back with you to talk some more.
Okay, thank you.
Hold on. And Mr. Osborne.
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Martinez was released from DOC on March 1st of 2018. She was arrested on March 20th of 2018. The Northeastern Parole Office was on a tech violation and was returned back to custody that same day with 0 scout days. With a community supervision end date of June 29th of 2018. Current conviction, 2017, taking identity of another 6 months. Prior convictions, 2015, burglary tools possession of 1 year. She's had 2 terms with DOC, has a CUR score of 2-1, a mental health score of 3, and a substance abuse score of 2. There's no SCG or game information noted. Prior term of supervision, 2016, TIS completion, 4 months. She has a minimal disciplinary history. Other arrests, 2005, DUI, liquor, drugs, vapors, combo, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation.
Yep.
2008, narcotic drug violation, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. 2014, assault, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2014, interfere with judicial process, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2017, interfere with judicial process, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. And she has a community risk score of G1B1.
All right, thank you, Mr. Osborne. So, Ms. Martinez, it looks like when you first got out, March 1st, you were approved to live with your husband at 324 North 14th Avenue, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. But then you were, on the 16th, about a little more than 2 weeks later, you went over to Vivre to the community qualification, right?
Sorry.
And that's at 7114 North 66th Drive in Glendale?
Yes.
Okay. And did you go there?
I did not show up there, and that is one reason why I turned myself in. I did not want to go to a halfway house, considering I just moved back in with my husband and unpacked. And I called my parole officer, let him I was going to go that Friday that I was supposed to go, and then my ride was my daughter, and she had a seizure, and I wasn't able to get there. So over the weekend, I talked to my family, and they thought it would be better for me to come back to DOC than to go through the program through VBRIC, since I've been through that program before, and I didn't want to leave my family. So that's why I called my co-officer and let him know that I was coming in to turn myself in, because I did not want to go to a halfway house.
Okay. And so, why was it that you had originally been considered for VBRIC anyway? Why was that?
When did I go for the first time?
No, why? Why were you being sent to VBRIC?
Because I had alcohol in my UA. That's what I thought was going on.
And had you had an alcohol problem? It looks like you've had a DUI in the past. Was that related to alcohol?
Well, yeah, DUI, that was in 2005. But no, I don't have. I was in the hospital the night before with my daughter. She had seizures, she had MRI, she has MS now. So I got home and I had a beer, and then I had a test. I missed my testing date because she went in for her MRI and CT scan, and I didn't make it to task on time. So my co-officer texted me the next day, said I missed, and I said, I know, I'm going before noon, and I went. I didn't have any drugs in my system, but I did have alcohol, and I did admit that I had a beer before I went in, and that's my bad. But no, I don't feel like I have an alcohol issue. I've never had an alcohol issue.
Okay. What about a drug issue?
I used to have a prescription drug issue way back when. I want to say it was 2007, 8, before my first husband passed away. I went through rehab, and I anything that I take is prescribed to me, but I'm not on prescription painkillers anymore.
Okay, all right. Let's see, what else was I going to ask you? Hold on 1 second, Mr. Osborne has something to add.
Yes, ma'am, I just wanted to note that on March 16th, 28th, James will be in the office speaking with myself, with the offender. She stated that she had taken prescription cough medicine with promethazine, and that's why she tested positive for alcohol. And I explained to her that I used to work in a pharmacy, and promethazine is prescribed with codeine, not alcohol. And then she advised that she didn't have any beer, and then it turned into a 40-ounce beer. So she wasn't being totally honest to begin with, and again, she said a beer, it was a 40-ounce bottle of beer that she was passed out because her daughter was...
I'm sorry, I didn't know I was supposed to describe what my beer was, but I did admit that I had the beer, and I also had a valid prescription, which you said you would let that slide because you worked in pharmacy.
Ms. Martinez?
Yes.
In these hearings, we would just ask you to speak when you're called on, and I'll give you opportunity to speak, so don't worry.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Otherwise, we have people talking over each other, and then... This is being recorded, so that's why we have only one person speak at a time.
Okay, bye. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, anything else? I'm sorry, Mr. Osborne.
That is on me.
Thank you. All right, do fellow board members have any questions? Oh, I thought of what I was going to ask. Yeah. Ms. Martinez, were you working at all?
No, I was in the process of going to the program that you, DOC offers for parolees at the program for DES. I was planning on attending. I wasn't out long enough to utilize anything, and I just got settled into my new place.
Okay.
But that was on my list to do.
Okay. And you say you have completed treatment in the past, or you have not?
I have.
Okay, and how long of a duration was that?
I was inpatient for private insurance for like 2 months, I think they did it for, but then I did VBRIC when I first got out of prison in 2015, which I was the first one to graduate from their program.
Okay.
DOC actually had a party for me and everything.
And how long is the VBRIC, that VBRIC?
It's 90 days.
Okay, so that's 90 days. Okay. All right. So, I'm sorry, I interrupted before anybody got to ask a question. Any other question? Okay, Ms. Martinez, we're coming close to the end of your hearing. I want to give you the opportunity, though, to make a final statement. Is there anything else you'd like the board to know without repeating things you've already told us, please?
Can I get my final statements now, or should...
This is it. Now's the time.
Okay. That I'm sorry that I violated. It was a lack of communication. I didn't want to go to a halfway house because I miss my family, but if I do get out and reinstated, I will obey and follow the procedure of what I need to do to get back to my life. I want to be with my family. I don't want to be in here anymore. And I'm sorry that we just had lack of communication on both sides, and I will try harder. That's it.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Martinez. The board is going to go into discussion, and it may sound like we're talking to you, but it's the board talking to among itself, the members talking, because we don't discuss cases before we get in this room.
Okay.
So all we ask is you just stay on the phone, remain silent, and we'll be back with you shortly.
Okay, thank you.
All right, the board is now in discussion. Ms. Martinez appears to have communication problems between she and her parole officer. I acknowledge she had changed parole officers midstream here, it sounds like, but she did end up with signing new documents on the 16th of March. And I think she's maybe now has realized that she really has to do what the parole officer says, but she wasn't particularly compliant, and I do know that she did drink alcohol and was a little evasive on that. I'm not seeing her as a good candidate for community supervision, but I'd listen to any input from fellow board members. Anybody have any thoughts? No? Okay, I'm going to make a motion then. I move to revoke community supervision as Ms. Martinez was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in the criminal laser company, specifically by using alcohol while she was on community supervision. And that's my motion.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. Ms. Martinez.
Yes.
The board has voted to revoke your community supervision. According to the date we have, we show that you'll be released on or about June 29th, 2018,
okay,
which is just a little over what? Not too long. That's next month. You can think of it that way. So we wish you the best, ma'am, and thank you for participating in our hearing today. And your hearing's concluded. If you give the phone back to the CO3, we'd appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.